after being involved for many years in the Lord's work, there's something I still can't get used to, and that's to say goodbye. This is our final night with you, and before I pass on my message, I'd like to thank you for your kindness and hospitality to my dear wife and my mother and I. You've given us a tremendous week here, and we're sure grateful for the Lord's kindness and for your hospitality. And I would seek to thank also those who've made a contribution in the organ, in the piano, and the special numbers that have been given to us this past week. I omitted this morning to thank especially our Sister Joy and Sister Sally for their wonderful contribution this morning. It truly was a tremendous thing to hear that wonderful, in fact it was a new number to me, and I really enjoyed it immensely. So we thank Sally and also Joy for participating this morning. Well, the Lord has given us truly a great day. We've touched the young, and we've touched the old, and everything in between. This morning at the family Bible hour, a lad of 10 years of age, his name is Mike, and he wanted to get saved. Well, I said, "Mike, why do you want to get saved, son?" Well, he said, "I don't want to go to hell." Well, that's a good reason to get saved. And then with the joy of seeing our beloved brother here going down into the waters of baptism. At the end of the meeting, little Deidre, who has been the subject of much prayer this past week, she trusted the Lord over in the office. And it's one of those occasions when you would like to have a sanctified camera and a sanctified tape recorder in your pocket to recall these prayers and the expression of appreciation to the Lord for the salvation of the soul. And so that cute little thing this afternoon just bowed her head, asked the Lord to forgive her of her sins and to give her everlasting life and to take over her life. So we're thankful for what the Lord has done. We certainly have been rejoicing here. And just as she accepted the Lord this afternoon, the telephone rang, and it was one of our friends from the Bahamas, the governor's daughter, just checking on me to see if I'm behaving. And I was able to tell her about little Deidre getting saved. So the news went back to the Bahamas immediately, and they are rejoicing down there. But they are rejoicing also in heaven. The scripture says when a soul is saved, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels. Not among the angels, but angels will rejoice, but rejoicing in the presence of the angels. And so the Father, he rejoices. In Zephaniah we read those words, "He will save and he will rejoice over you with singing." So God was singing this afternoon, and the Lord Jesus Christ sees of the travail of his soul and he's satisfied. But I believe the Christians in heaven know also what is going on. They are fully active, and as the apostle said, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, it's far better. Conscious existence in heaven, they know what's going on. And I'm sure our beloved brother, Robert Willie, and the saints who have met here in this place are rejoicing today what has gone on down here in Keystone Heights. So we're thankful for the family of God and for the communication we have between heaven and earth. And so I'm thankful that 2 years ago, he booked me for this weekend, and it's certainly, rather this week and this weekend, and it certainly has been very, very precious to my wife and to my dear mother and myself. Many thanks. Now shall we turn, please, again to the Gospel by John. The 12th chapter, or rather the 11th chapter of the Gospel by John. And just to conclude where we left off on Friday evening, let's look at a few verses in chapter 10. Verse 39, "Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. Now please over to verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, yea though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. And down to verse 40, Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou believest, thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. And because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they might believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. The Lord again will bless to us this lovely section of his holy word. We have been discussing the signs in John's Gospel. Remember the first sign we saw, that the Lord's compound title could be drawn alongside the sign at the marriage in Cana of Galilee, when the Lord turned the water into wine. And we called the Lord's title there to bear, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Then the second miracle, again at Cana of Galilee, the healing of the nobleman's son. That title, Jehovah Rapha, I am the God that healeth, was brought to bear in that study. And then we saw the third sign, which was at the pool of Bethesda, in the city of Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, when the man who had been there for 38 years was made whole. Jehovah said, Can you? Said, Go and sin no more. Then in chapter 6, we grouped two signs. The fourth and the fifth sign, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, as he fed the 5,000. And then as he walked on the water and comforted the disturbed hearts of the disciples, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord send peace. And then on Friday evening, we went to chapter 9 and saw the Lord there as Jehovah Roi, the Lord is my shepherd, where he healed the man who was blind, and it was a double miracle. His physical sight was restored, and the Lord gave him spiritual sight. Now here in chapter 11, we have the seventh sign, and in chapter 21, we won't have time to look into it, there we have the eighth and the final sign of the eight signs in John's Gospel. Here we have the Lord presented to us as Jehovah Helion, the Lord Most High. We close somewhat hurriedly in chapter 10 concerning the Good Shepherd. We saw the shepherd described, and then the shepherd's discourse. But here in verse 39, we have the shepherd's departure. Therefore they sought again to take him, and he escaped out of their hand. And then the shepherd's destination was at Jordan, and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. This was the shepherd's destination. So in chapters 9 and 10, we have the Lord as the shepherd. But here, friend, in chapter 11, Jehovah Helion, we see him as the sovereign Lord. Now in the Song of Solomon chapter 1, these two titles of the Lord are brought before us. We see him there as the sovereign. The king has brought me to his chambers. We also see him there as the shepherd. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, and where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? So you see, the Holy Spirit here brings these two titles, the shepherd and the sovereign, together in chapters 10 and chapter 11. Now the shepherd's destination is very, very interesting in chapter 10. It was where John baptized at the river Jordan. There we reminded, friend, that that was the place of recognition. These disciples required a refresher course, and so the Lord took them to the most opportune place, which was the place of baptism. Now this afternoon we were right there at the place of baptism, and it was a refresher course for us, the people of God. It was a place where the Lord's recognition was fully made known. You remember, as he came up out of those waters of baptism, God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I find all my delight." To the disciples, it was a refresher course that this was God's beloved Son who was being hounded and hunted by these wicked Pharisees and scribes. A place of recognition. But also to them, it was a place of repose. When the Lord came up out of those waters, you remember the Holy Spirit descended upon him in a dove-like shape and rested upon the person of the Lord Jesus. He was the only one who could retain and hinder the full energy and supply of the Spirit of God. There are those men and women in the Bible who have been filled with the Spirit, but the Lord Jesus was always full of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit in complacency rested upon the Lord Jesus. The place of recognition and the place of repose. But these disciples also at this destination were reminded also that it was a place of renunciation. Right there on the banks of the Jordan, John said, "After me cometh a man who is prepared before me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He must increase, and I must decrease." And if you and I are going to be a success in the work of the Lord, we have to take the lowly place. All of God's great men and women, honorable women in the Scriptures, they took the lowly place. Even the one who brought the Savior into the world, it is "My soul doth magnify the Lord, my spirit doth rejoice in God my Savior," and she called herself the handmaid of the Lord. The last picture you have of Mary is in at a prayer meeting in the upper room. And there she goes out, as she came in, dependent upon God, the handmaid of the Lord. We must learn lessons of humility before we can make any progress in the things of the Lord. The place of renunciation. But it was also the place of evaluation. Because John said, or rather the Lord said, "And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John said of this man were true." John never multiplied the bread and fed the hungry like the Lord Jesus. He never touched a leper. He never raised the dead. He never spake with tongues. John did no miracle. But all things that John said of this man were true. John's ministry covered a period of about 11 months. And he did more in those 11 months than all of us together could do in 11 years. And he speaks so well about the Lord Jesus. It was a place of evaluation that what John said about Christ, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," that John was telling the truth. And the Lord sought to vindicate that at the place of baptism. But not only was it a place of recognition and a place of repose, and a place of renunciation and a place of evaluation. But thank God it was a place of regeneration. Souls were saved when the Lord stayed those 2 extra days right there at the place of baptism. And many believed on him there. So this was a wonderful refresher course for these disciples. And so the shepherd, he reached his destination at the place of baptism. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it, when souls believe. I was just rejoicing this afternoon. You know, when Paul was in Mars Hill and gave that great address, it says some mocked and some said, "We will hear thee again." But the scripture says some believed. And among them was Dionysius the Areopagite. He was a man, and a woman called Damaris. And the Lord was kind to us today. We got a male and a female believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that has only given us an appetite for more tonight. And so we find the shepherd reaches the destination. But then going into chapter 11, we have the sovereign's decision. Secondly, we have the sovereign's definition. And thirdly, we have the sovereign's deliberation. What was the sovereign's decision? In verse 7, upon hearing that Lazarus was sick, he decided to stay 2 more days at the place of baptism where John had baptized. Why did the Lord purposely delay? You'd have thought he would have reacted immediately to the appeal of his friends. But that delay was for the glory of God. But then verse 7 produced an enigma to these disciples. The Lord said, "Let us go into Judea again." Here was the sovereign's decision. The Lord was always moving within the framework of the will of God. He was always controlled by the Spirit of God. And so as a man, he sought to do the Father's will. And again, he's guided by the Spirit. The time has come. Let us go into Judea again. And of course, this was a problem to the disciples. And so the Lord gave a definition in verse 9. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man work in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth." The Lord's definition, the sovereign's definition here is this: to walk in the night without him is a walk of fear. I repeat, to walk in the night without him is a walk of fear. But to walk in the day, in the light with him, it is a walk of faith. Thank God for those who have traveled this pathway of faith and have come to the Lord Jesus seeking him as a personal Savior. Much can be said about this, but I want to dwell a little more on the sovereign's deliberation. He was working to a plan, and finally Martha comes and she tells the Lord Jesus that, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Now the Lord Jesus loved that home in Bethany. He loved Lazarus and Martha and Mary. But you remember again that the delay was for the glory of God. And Jesus said, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the day." Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" The Lord is telling us here about the Old Testament saints, I believe, and the New Testament saints. "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead," the dead in Christ, "yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" This is a reference to those who are alive and remain. The apostle develops this as he wrote to the Thessalonians. the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So whether we be asleep or alive, we shall hear the call of Christ, rise up and come away. This was good news to Mary, to Martha, and then she went to see her sister, and she says, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. This is a lovely little gospel section of the word. The Master is come, the coming of Christ, and calleth for thee. That's the invitation of Christ. As soon as she heard that, that's the message of Christ. She arose and came quickly. That is response to Christ. The Master is come. The whole of the Old Testament is pervaded with things relative to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth. And it was a happy day when the Master came to Bethany. And it was a happy day when the Lord came to this chapel and saved two precious souls. The Master is come. Now the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ right here in chapter 11 was first of all for the vindication of the goodness of God. You see, there was a man who was dead, but the Lord miraculously brought him to life. So the Lord's coming was for the vindication of the goodness of God. Death gives place to life. Now the Lord came to the planet Earth for that purpose. Because if you're not saved, God says you're dead. Dead in trespasses and in sins. But it's possible to have life through Christ. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. He brings eternal life with him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, says John, he that heareth my word, and believeth in him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So it's possible, friend, to be the recipient of everlasting life. Moreover, in that home circle in Bethany, there was sadness. Lazarus was dead. But thank God, the coming of Christ brought gladness. Sadness comes in because of sin, but gladness comes in because of salvation. You remember when the shepherds were on the fields of Bethlehem. The angel said, fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. So you see, friend, sin brings in sadness, but thank God Christ brings in gladness. And his coming was for the goodness of God, because in that home there was fear. Fear of death. But the Lord, in his kindness, injected peace. I might have told this story before, but it's always a favorite of mine. I had a very dear friend in the north of Ireland. His name was Hawthorne Bailey. And he had a granddaughter, just 5 or 6 years of age, and he sure adored that little granddaughter. His son was a parliamentarian in the government of Lord Brookborough, and Lord Brookborough one day put on a special banquet for the parliamentarians, their wives and children. So running around in this banqueting house was the granddaughter of our friend, cute little girl of 5 or 6 years of age. Lord Brookborough saw her, was attracted, and he pulled her onto his knee. He said to her, my dear, can you sing? Oh, yes, she said, I can sing. So he asked for quietness, and he began to sing at the top of her voice, "You'll never know peace, real peace, until you know Jesus." Everybody was thrilled. Lord Brookborough again asked if she could sing the number again, and she sang, "You'll never know peace, real peace, until you know Jesus." Do you have that peace, friend? The peace which passeth all understanding. The peace that can garrison the heart and the mind. So the coming of the Lord to Bethany and to Keystone Heights is for the vindication of the goodness of God. The coming of the Lord was also for the manifestation of the love of God. These Jews, these Hebrews, when they saw the Savior weep, just like the Lord, he weeps with those that sorrow and tears coursing down his cheeks. They said, "Oh, how he loved him." They knew that the Lord Jesus Christ had a special love for Lazarus. Oh, how he loved him. My dear friend, I must remind you tonight that the Lord loves you. If you don't remember any other thing of what I have said tonight, let me say again that the Lord loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you. God's love is incomparable. He loves the unlovable. It is incomprehensible. It is irrefutable, and it is irrepressible. There's nothing like the love of God. And that has been made manifest to us in the person of his beloved Son. So the coming of the Lord was for the vindication of the goodness of God and for the manifestation of the love of God. But also we saw in verse 40 that it was for the revelation of the glory of God. I never cease to marvel at the conversion of a soul. And God was glorified in this place today. Because Paul says, "God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And think of the great God whom the heaven of heavens cannot contain was glorified in the salvation of a boy and a girl, and in the obedience of a beloved brother as he went into the waters of baptism. God was glorified in our midst today, and we thank him for it. He deserved all the glory that is available to him. And also, that coming was for the revelation of the glory of God. And so, the Master is come. That was the coming of Christ. And calleth for thee. That was the invitation of Christ. And I think it's a marvel that the Lord should invite us, call us to his wonderful family, the family of God. If we had received the due reward of our deeds, if God had dealt with us the way he could, then we would have been in a lost eternity forever and ever. He might have withdrawn himself when Adam sinned behind the portals of glory and accept the obeisance of angels for eternal years and left us in our misery. But he saw us ruined in the fall, yet loved us notwithstanding all. He can save us from our lost estate. His loving kindness, oh how great. And so he calls us as individuals. That's predominant in John's Gospel. He called Nicodemus, the woman in chapter 4, the man with the pool of Bethesda, the blind man. And friend, he's an interest in you as an individual. That makes the Gospel story so precious. And so the Lord says to you tonight, come. First time the word come was ever used, it was used by God. He said to Noah and to his family, come, thou and all thy house into the ark. There was destruction round the corner, but God made provision in the ark. My dear friend, there's destruction coming upon this godless world. It's ready to explode. But thank God there is an ark. There is a refuge. And that is the person of the Lord Jesus. And tonight God addresses you personally. And he says to you tonight, come. Have you come? The Master is come and calleth for thee. And the last time we have the word come used is in the Revelation chapter 22. The Spirit says come. The Holy Spirit is in this gathering tonight, the Sovereign Spirit, sensitive, Holy Spirit. And he's probing the hearts. And he's calling tonight to you if you're not saved. And he says come. And the Bride of Christ says come in the same chapter. Those of us who are saved in this gathering, we just want to see our loved ones saved. And our friends. And our neighbors. Time is running out. I have a brother-in-law in Rochester, New York. My mother stayed with him. He's a very, very kind gentleman. Always courteous. But he's not saved. We would do anything to see him saved. So tonight the bride says come. Every Christian that's born again wants you to come tonight. If you're not saved. Right in the middle of our Bible the Lord says come. Come unto me. Oh, ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I will give you rest. Have you come? The Master is come. And calleth for thee. Dan Snedden, well known to all here, was a prisoner of war with a dear friend of ours, captured in Singapore. And Dan, my friend, told us of the awful hardships they went through as they constructed the railroad from Bangkok to the coast. And there was a Maori officer who was now skin and bone, body emaciated, malaria, dysentery, and the cruelty of the Japanese soldiers. And they were dropping like flies. And Dan Snedden stood, and he addressed these men, the Master is come, and calleth for thee. One Maori, tall man, now skin and bone, he said to Brother Dan Snedden, does it mean me? Dan said, it means everybody. He says, tell him I'm coming. And he dropped down dead. The Master is come. And calleth for thee. That man will be in heaven. Because he responded to the invitation. And the Lord says, call upon me. And the Lord says, come unto me. And the Lord says, look unto me. And that will guarantee you a place in heaven. Salvation comes through a very simple channel. Simple to us, but of tremendous magnitude to God, for it cost God everything to lay the plan of salvation, and all it costs us is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Master is come, the coming of Christ, and calleth for thee the invitation of Christ. And as soon as she heard that, that was the message of Christ. There was nothing more precious, more sweet to the one who was at home, no doubt, somewhat annoyed that the Lord had not come and prevented the death of her brother. But oh, that was sweet news to her. The Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as you hear that message, oh friend, what a wonderful message is the message of Christ. It's twofold. There's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. The Lord always presents the balance. He spoke more about hell than he ever spoke about heaven, because it's love that warns the sinner to flee from the wrath to come. So the message tonight is very clear. The Lord says, come unto me. But if you reject him, then he will say to you, when that door is shut, depart from me, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. But then there'll be a response and they'll pound on that door, Lord, Lord. Oh, they can use religious propriety. They can address him as Lord. He said, I never knew you. But Lord, we ate and we drank in thy presence. We partook of the communion, the sacrament, Lord. He said, I never knew you. Religious participation. And Lord, you taught in our streets. Lord, I can quote John 3:16. I never knew you. Because they were not changed on earth, their names were not written in heaven. They were unknown in heaven. They were unwanted by Christ because they were unchanged on earth. So the message tonight is come, but very soon the word will be depart. And she came quickly. That was the response to Christ. She came quickly. It would be wonderful tonight if you are not in God's family, if you're not really sure about being born again, to respond like this lady, and she came quickly. Quick response to the appeal of Christ. This could be the final night that the Word of God will be preached in this place. It's the final message of these wonderful conference weeks that you've had, but it could also be the final message. If we believe in God's word, and we do, then the Lord says, very soon, He's coming back again. All conditions around us reveal to us that the Lord's coming is very, very near. And tonight He might shut that door, and then for you, it shall be too late. And then, of course, the Lord went on to raise Lazarus from the dead. And He restored him to his family. And in chapter 12, they made him a supper. And the Lord sat down and dined with them in beautiful Bethany. But as I conclude, friend, I appeal to you again tonight to respond to the Lord Jesus Christ and to His invitation, because tomorrow might be too late. The poet says, dear ones will weep o'er my silent face. Loved ones will clasp me in sad embrace. Darkness and shadows will fill the place. 5 minutes after I die, quickly the years of my life have flown. Gathering treasure I thought my own. Now I must reap the seed I have sown. 5 minutes after I die, not to replace the good I lack, fixed to the goal of my chosen track. No time to repent, no turning back. 5 minutes after I die. Fool that I am, hard word yet true, passing the Savior with death in view, doing a deed I can ne'er undo. 5 minutes after I die. If I am flinging a fortune away, if I am spurning salvation's day, just as a verdict my soul say, 5 minutes after I die. The Lord help you to choose. Your eternal state depends on your choice. You must not wait, for it will be too late. 5 minutes after you die. May the Lord help you then to respond to His invitation. If you're not saved, then put your trust in the Lord Jesus. If I can be of any help to any of you after this meeting, in any way at all, you feel free to talk to me. I'm here to help you as a servant of the Lord. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank Thee for giving us this wonderful week with Thy dear children here at Keystone Heights, at Park of the Palms. Our Father, we're so thankful that Thou in Thy kindness has given to us the sacred Scripture. And we thank Thee again for the gospel of the glory of the blessed God that has reached down to our hearts and brought us to the Savior. We thank Thee for what has been done today. But Lord, again, we're concerned about other friends who might be still in the danger zone. Do bring them to Thyself, we pray, as we ask it in His precious name.